Do you have your audio visual license?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to call the meeting to order. And could you all rise? And Diane, one of our board members, is going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I need a motion to approve the agenda. Is there any changes to the agenda? Any changes?
No.
Need a motion to approve?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
We need an approval to approve the minutes from the December 12, 2019 2019 meeting minutes.
So moved.
Need a second?
Second.
Moving on to the consent agenda, we need approval of warrants, PAR contract ratifications with Kelly Services, Temple Benai, IM lease agreement, Cherry Valley lease agreement. I need a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Moving on. Now we're going to get to the part where you folks out there, the public, can speak. Anybody have any public comments?
No, I don't think anybody at our sites either. I did check with our team to see if anybody had shown up to their sites to give a comment, and so far, no.
What Nev is referring to is there's a new regulation, and you don't have to come to this facility. You can go to one of our physical places and attend a board meeting if you want to observe and listen, and you can also make comment when there's public comment. So that's going to be something new that we're going to, you know, ask if there's any public comment from the distant facilities. It appears there is none today.
Correct.
Kathleen, it's all yours.
All right. you know, as always, this time of year, it's a busy time. We just had our one-day makeup. Aloha. In the summer, in August, first week of August, we always have a new employee orientation, and it is it's anywhere between, according to the employee job description, they might go attend that 3 days, or they might attend it all 5 days. Because we talk about all the things related to being a charter school, our mission and vision, as well as the particular information for their particular job. A lot of our employees are hired after that August training, and so they don't get the opportunity to go. And so we have a one-day, what we call a luau day, which combines the first 2 days of Aloha Week into one day. And so we just have that on Friday. Doug is responsible for the afternoon portion. His team, with the help of I think Catherine Pangle, has a portion, and we have, yeah. And then Vivian and I do the morning on the luau day. So it's fun. And there were a lot of people there. Doug, was there like 70?
There was over 100.
Over 100 in that room?
Yeah. We had 100, and I think it was 14 chairs, and nearly every chair was filled. So
that's why they were so noisy. You know what's funny? It's like in the Aloha Week, they were great. They were fine. They were totally engaged. I like noisy. I'm a little noisy. But in the Aloha Weeks, usually people are just, it's hard to warm them up. But the luau days, I noticed, you know, because these people know each other by now, you know, so they're more comfortable. Anyway, so I did that in the morning, and then in the afternoon, the rest of the staff, in order so that we didn't have to get subs for everybody, for those 100 and whatever people, we coincided the luau day with the professional development day, where all the teachers and staff of the academy, or the site staff, is out. And So they missed the PD, but they got the luau day. So it was kind of, you know, it, and we saved a lot of money by not having to get subs, and plus the kids saved having to have the disruption and stuff. So anyway, but I went over and did a training with Nicole Haynes, who is our English language arts KA specialist. She's awesome. And if you haven't met her, we one of these days bring her out. She's doing a lot of work with our BHAG committee for the early reading initiative that we're working on, making sure all of our kids can read by the fourth grade. So we worked with the K through second grade teachers and went over a variety of things, got information from them, and that was really, really fun. It's been a while since I've been able to work with my people. Primary teachers are my people for sure. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, that was fun. So, is there anything else that anybody has a question about regarding the actual written packet?
There's no questions for Kathleen? And move on to information items. Number one is an LCAP mid-year update led by Amy Podrez.
Hello, everyone. So, if you remember, the local control and accountability plan was something put into place quite a few years ago, which goes along with the LPFF calculator, which Tawny uses to do the revenues for your budget. This is the mid-year update. As things are going, it looks like we're going to finish all of our goals by the end of the year, which is great news. So if you have any specific questions about the goals mentioned, please let me know. And one of the major changes, which is written on one of the last slides, is that we are going, the state is changing the LCAP. So this last LCAP was a 3-year cycle, and that 3 years is up at the end of this year. So as you see the LCAP in June for next year and the 2 years after, it will look slightly different. For you all, it's just kind of the look and feel is going to be a little bit different. The way we have the 6 goals, and then under each goal there's the specific actions with the money, of course, and budget tied to all of those things. On the staff side, it's actually a huge change. The template has completely changed, so basically we're kind of starting over, so it's a pretty big year for us in the LCAP world. As far as things go, kind of rebooting and starting over. The good news is that LCAP is also supposed to be 3-year round, which means once we get it going this year and put in that hard work, then the next 2 years, all the difficult, because we still have to do the annual update and new budgets and, you know, look at our demographics. If our demographics change, we might need to put, you know, save more money in the homeless youth, or, you know, because we have a higher enrollment and things like that, the template won't actually change. So the next time you'll be hearing from me about this is in May. We will be doing our stakeholder activity with you all, and it usually involves posters and stickers, and you guys kind of voting on what you think are the highest priorities in Empire Springs. And then in June, you'll be seeing a full LCAP, which is everything going forward for next year. And for those of you that have been around a while, you might remember there's also a federal addendum piece. So the LCAP is actually for the state of California, but because we take Title I money for free and reduced lunch students, and we take Title III money for English learners, those are actually federal dollars. Typically, you see the federal addendum in a different month, but that is now tied into the LCAP. The feds and the state had to come to an agreement on what that looked like, which honestly took a couple years. It's kind of been floating out there by itself to meet the requirement. So that federal addendum will also be a part of the LCAP in June. So you're going to kind of get the whole shebang, for my technical term, all at once, with all the state funds, all the federal funds, and how that aligns to our goals and how that aligns to the 8 state priorities, because we can't just have any goals. We have to make sure we're covering, obviously, the state standards. We have to make sure we're covering safety. You know, there's certain parameters in which that those have to be written. So because I'm also the WASC accreditation person for the WASC side of the house, those goals do align. So all these plans kind of align, but they look all completely different. But just so you know, obviously, if we say that our measure
in English Language Arts growth is going to be the dashboard growth, then that will be our measure throughout all the plans that you see from me. We don't parse and piece those because it just becomes overly complicated for you and overly complicated for our leadership. Any questions? We're good? Okay.
Moving on, next slide. Information item is the 2018-19 School Accountability Report Card, also led by Amy.
Amy. Catherine is here. Catherine is my right hand. She is all things for the School Accountability Report Card. So the School Accountability Report Card is, again, something that we have to do for a compliance piece. Every school in the state of California has to do it, charter and traditional schools. So we just wanted to let you know that that is up on the website. It is complete, free of error, and was up within the deadline. So we just wanted to kind of turn your attention to the SARC in case you wanted to give a little read about Empire Springs. And if you have any questions, Catherine and I are both here to answer those for you.
It is a thrilling document.
Are there any questions regarding this?
Amy thinks I'm being sarcastic.
No.
You would never do that, would you?
It is thrilling. But again, for parents who like to compare schools and look into schools and things, this is something that's been long-standing, you know, a couple of decades since SARCs have been out there. So anyway, I just wanted to let you guys know it was there in case you wanted to give it a little deeping in.
Are you guys happy with the report as far as the standing of?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of it comes from just the state data. So, you know, it's coming from, you know, the test scores and things like that. And some of it is self-reported data. But yeah, overall, we're very pleased with the way things are going and the way it turned out. And especially on the document and the way it's laid out, that all those compliance pieces are in place. So, yes.
Oh, great. I did absolutely
good.
Are there any other questions or comments? Moving on to the third information item, it's an update on the National School Lunch Program by Tanya Rogers.
Well, good morning. As you recall, last year I gave you updates monthly. That might be a bit much because of being here. So I wanted to give you a mid-year update. As you know, last year, Rancho Cucamonga began participating in the NSLP or National School Lunch Program. And then this year, they were eligible for the CEP or Community Eligibility Provision, which means that every child eats free for breakfast and lunch, regardless of their financial status, their economic status. So that's a wonderful thing that we're able to offer and keep doing, and that's just a calculation based on the percentage levels of our free and reduced population. So Molly, our Director of Nutrition Services, put together a few other little interesting snippets she thought you might like. For instance, from the beginning of school through the end of December, over 19,000 meals have been served. So that's quite a few. Quite a few children that are getting nutrition meals. Again, the CEP program we're working on, we actually are delivering as well to the Sherman Oaks site. So we're doing that, and every site that has students there for 2 hours or longer is getting a nutritionally balanced meal. And what we do is when we move into the CASP testing, the homeschoolers come in, we offer that same level of service as well to them. So Empire did go through what's required of our administrative review by the CDE. It was spotless without a flaw, so they're doing a great job up there. And Holly is also participating. She's been personally requested by the California Department of Education to participate in a task force regarding how do we make the program available for more kids to eat. Not the program, but eat food. So that's a wonderful thing. Spring Charter Schools, and by that I mean Holly in this area, is considered to be an expert for charter world. So we're very proud of that. And she wanted you to know that the students pay the food.
Because what? Pizza what?
Pizza differs.
Pizza differs.
Pizza
differs.
There's kind of like a hot pocket.
Yeah.
I think it's just, yeah.
It's a hot pocket. Okay.
Pizza rolls.
How things don't
changed.
There's a disconnect.
The only difference now is they use ramps for everything.
That's the thing I can't.
Tanya, there's a disconnect when you say a nutritionally balanced meal and then you follow it up with a pizza dish.
It's a qualification.
I'm not just eating.
Tanya, can I just piggyback off of this? You mentioned Sherman Oaks, and I forgot to mention that in my superintendent's report. We are, you know, as you know, we've been in operation since the last year, but the thing to note is we are actively searching for a replacement facility that where we can expand, and we have a good lead, but we will be bringing a lease to you over the next couple of months at some point, because our goal is to find some place where we don't have to get a conditional use permit, which we know, even though they say theoretically it can take 4 months, you know, you can get it as quickly as 4 months. That's what everybody says. We have never ever gotten one in 4 months, ever in a million years. It feels like it feels like you can't really get it in less than a year. And you know, and then if you have to do any work, then you have that on top after the same piece of. So we're really looking for some place that already has that. So
this would be a goal for the fall semester?
Yes, for fall. And so it may necessitate, I'm just letting you know, it's just in case it necessitates a special call board meeting. I don't know what our board schedule is off the top of my head.
We had a March meeting, but this board doesn't meet in April unless we do this.
Okay, all right. So if we have it together by March, you'll have it next month, but if we don't, then, and we may need to borrow. We may need a borrowing, which Tanya and I are going to be talking about too, like a RAMS borrowing. So because of the facility short-term, because we have extra ADA that we aren't going to get paid for a year, basically. Anyway, is it just a little, I should have mentioned it during my report, sorry.
A little timing issue.
Thank you.
Yeah, timing. The state pays in a funny way.
Okay, we're going to move on to action items. I need a motion to discuss approval of the third addendum to the lease with the set spelled right Alice, or is it Atlas?
I believe it's spelled right. That was
okay. Alice Company. Need,
so moved. Second.
Wait a second. Yeah, we had a discussion first thing. It's okay. Dave Black. Hello.
Good morning, Kimberly Board. I'm Dave Black. I'm the director of facilities. I think this is the first time I've had an opportunity to give a report to you. But the Alice Company is their legal business. If you drive by, it's the Glimco Business Park. They're right adjacent to us over on Business Park Drive there. And we lease a few buildings, one of which is under Empire's stewardship. And so this is a lease that has the background given in the printed agenda here. If you've read it, if you have any questions, I'm here to answer. It used to be robotics. Now it's part of the Fab Lab. And the educational part can give you the information on exactly what that use requires. We're just tasked with getting the leases and set up and finding facilities, and so I don't know all of the details of the actual use itself.
And this is in Temecula, correct?
Correct.
Right down the street.
Mm-hmm. And how is it used?
The Fab Lab is like where they have all of their all of the educational resources. And we do have a lot of projects that require a lot of materials, die cuts, and laminator, and you know, stuff like that. And so they can do summer. In the summer, we get together binders of information or whatever for the teachers. And so when you're dealing with making thousands, you know, of something and laying it out, we don't really have the space here, or, well, we do have the space if we didn't care that I knew that nobody else could use it, just, you know what I mean, for any other purpose. So, anyway.
So the cost of this is distributed across all of the schools?
I don't, Tanya would.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is.
There's a formula when it's paid, and it's distributed through the build-out process.
Okay.
This is more for administration versus student services? Students are not participating?
Not currently, but
it
can be used in that capacity.
Yeah, okay, but it's not a, it's not where they go
it's
to class.
It's not the occupancy, though. I mean, we, so it would be only for a few children
yeah.
If they did anything there, but we know if we don't.
Are there any further questions or comments?
CTE, do you have any?
We have a motion for this item. I need a second.
Maybe.
A second.
Thank you.
All those in favor of approving this, say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Motion carries. Now I need a motion to discuss the second reading and approval of the BP 4015.1. Led by Tanya.
So.
A motion to discuss. Tanya, could you bring us up to date, please?
So, Craig, the way that you're doing it today is a motion and then discussion and a second, which is a little different than our typical process. I think that still would work, but I think that's why there's been a little bit of a delay in response. We usually do our motion and our second and then our discussion.
Okay,
that
that's fine.
Fine with me,
that's fine.
Okay, so do we have a second?
Sure.
Thank you. Now discussion, please.
All right. This is the policy that I brought for you back in December for a first reading. This is to establish the benefit of health insurance with post-retirement, meeting some very specific criteria that's common in the school realm, if you will. So nothing has been changed on this with the exception of on the policy. The executive summary has eligible at 62 and the policy says 63, so I changed the policy to reflect 62. Either way, it's still only a maximum 2-year time span for until you reach the age of 65. Is there any questions we can answer?
Any comments or questions? We now have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. The last action item is I need a motion to discuss approval of the FPED contracts.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Tanya, again, please.
Good morning. This is an increase for the special education contracts. As you recall, last year when I brought the preliminary budget to you, we had implemented a new procedure where we had brought all the SPED contracts to you and we had done some different things behind the scenes in order to track the spending in a certain manner. Due to that tracking, it was brought to our attention that we were actually in a position where they needed to increase their spending due to the cost of, you know, the rising cost of contractors, as well as the settling out of population and what services they would provide. So after some very thorough review and analysis, these are the numbers that our special education department is indicating that they need and the various contractors. So it's coming to a total of $311,747. As the executive summary indicates, we have actually made adjustments throughout the budget in areas we can save in order to cover that gap. So it's not an additional $300,000 hit to the budget. We have adjusted savings along the way so that actually that just washes out.
And this is primarily for outside services?
Yes,
okay.
It's all outside services.
And how do you determine... How is it determined when a special education teacher needs outside services?
These are mostly specialized services that either we don't have enough staff to provide what the student actually really needs at that moment in time, or they're just services that we don't house internally. And Debbie is working on going through and analyzing all of that and coming up with continual process to refine these contractors only as needed.
So, generally speaking, in terms of contractors, it's like, for example, we have hard of hearing students, very few, but then if they need services, we might contract for that. There are a
a couple of areas where we contract, even though we would prefer to employ. So speech therapists being one of them. Speech therapists are very hard to employ. We have, in our network, across the entire network, we have 11 FTE, full-time equivalents of speech therapists. There's more than that, but some of them just work part-time, whatever. But of that 11, we only employ 2, I think. So, I mean, we do have Glendora, who is in charge of our speech therapists, but as for the ones that are actually providing day-to-day services, we only have 2 employed by the Spring Network. The rest are contractors. So, which you pay more for a contractor, but then you don't have the benefit of the contractor. We prefer to employ them, I'll just tell you that. You know, they're for many, many reasons. But there is a benefit in that if children move, change, whatever, we can move the contract up and down based on the needs. As you know, if we all of a sudden have a bunch of students move out of the area and we have an employee, then we still have that employee, we still pay them full time. But that's not the case with a contractor. You can scale your costs.
Any comments from the board or questions?
Yeah, I've noticed, especially the special ed side, that we've had and I'm having hard facts that we've had a large, the turnover is quite large. And having a
students or staff?
Staff. Mm-hmm. And having a son that was in special ed, to change those special ed instructors every year and have a different one every year is an issue, in my opinion. And, you know, as special instructor teacher, or whether it be speech, or it could be, there's a whole slew, right? They get to know the student also, right? Mm-hmm. And if we're continually changing and just contracting out, right, there's no relationship there. There's no understanding of the true advancement of that student, or the lack of advancement. Right? The special instructor teachers are coming in, be speech, physical therapy, therapists, you know, you have the ones that come out with PE and work with kids in PE. They don't know where the kid was a year ago, so they start all over again. Right? And so there's got to be a balancer as well.
Right. I agree.
Ron, I think Tanya alluded to that. So the next project here is to look at those vendor services, which I'm working on with the special director, to move as many services as possible to our own staff first, and then begin to stabilize those, because you're exactly right. Our model is relationship building first, and it's very difficult. We don't control who the contracted service provider is, but we do have a compliance issue that we have to meet as well. So we are going to take a good hard look at that, because you're exactly right. Our model is what you just described.
Right, and the services are good.
Yes.
And they're always there.
Right.
But there's no continuity.
We need that relationship piece.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do we often change the contractor? Like this year it might be XYZ speech therapist, and next year it's going to be ABC.
We usually have a stabilized contractor, but then within the they provide the service.
Who they supply under their contract.
Yeah.
Okay.
So depending on, and many charter schools use that same contractor, so they're going to move their staff around that suits their business model. So that's where we want to kind of shore up as much as we can in-house staff and stabilize that.
Any other comments or questions?
Yeah, I was wondering, is this amount comparable to what we've spent on contractors in the past, or is it increasing by a larger percentage, or...
You know, every year we have seen an increase, and that goes along with our population. Our enrollment is increasing, the special education population fluctuates, as well as the contractor rates go up. So we're doing our best as we're being kids, both and evaluate and see how we can do that, provide the services, yet contain the costs.
But as a percentage of the budget, is the contracted service usually on the same percentage year over year, or is that also slightly? My question is, because if you're increasing students, you're going to get more state aid.
Right.
So that would also, reflect on having more contracted service, but as a percentage of, you know, our budget 3 years ago, is it comparable or
what? So what we think is happening, what we're looking at, is not that the cost is increasing, but that the level of service needs per student is elevating. So okay. We're getting students that have maybe where in the past they might have had one teacher providing addressing three goals, we might now have four service providers for that student addressing 23 goals. Okay. So it is a little complicated of a formula, and we're going to work on that with Tanya to make sure that as the students are coming in, we know this student is going to cost us a bit more than maybe a student that only has maybe speech services once a week or whatever. So it is a little complicated, okay. But we are seeing an increase in the level of service needs per student at the high
level. Okay.
That's increasing dramatically. Maybe because they like us. You know, we're a great school, and so why shouldn't we have these serving these students?
As traditional public schools, they're not great at it.
Correct.
And we as parents tend to try to find the best solution for our kids.
Exactly. It helps with success.
What you're working on it and Tanya are together?
Yes.
Is the goal to try to come to a new plan by the fall, or how
next
long?
Budget cycle, yes. Which is
okay.
Yeah.
So your
goal is to do a more accurate job in predicting the budget for
okay.
next year over time.
So this is just going to be a budget item. Are you going to report back to us that we eliminated X number of contractors?
If you like.
But yeah, I think
yeah.
we.
Well,
we're not going to tell you how to do your job. We just would like to know what, kind of how you're going to proceed.
I'll share it with you if you like, Fred. I don't think you want it. But I think it's also what he's asking about the service piece.
Absolutely.
How are we
doing?
Your concern. Are we moving more to the mission and vision of the school?
Right.
And how we're, I think that's also what you're asking. Am I correct?
Yeah, just.
Yeah. And I'll bring
the dollar figure forward.
Okay, that's great.
In June, and then Betty can speak to the service piece. Yeah.
Any other questions or comments? That brings us to a close on the majority of the agenda. Now we have community relations board comments and any future agenda items requested by the board members. Iva?
No comments?
No comments. Tracy?
Did I get all in favor
of
that last item?
Oh, I'm sorry. Going back to approval of the special ed contracts, I need all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Now going back to Tracy.
I don't have anything.
Diane?
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
I do want to say something just because my sons go to the Marietta Student Center, and last night they had a drive-in movie night. We had to make a box that looked like a car, and then the kids got to vote. Mr. Tom there gave everybody a white piece of paper, and there was like six movies on it, and they got to vote the two that they wanted to watch, and it's just such a wonderful set. Place. And if you guys ever need help with community relations, I'd love to volunteer, to help spread the word about River Springs. It rocks.
Thank you, Jessica. I don't have any comments at this time, so we're going to be in recess. We are going to have a closed session. We'll convene in the back room in about 10 minutes. Everybody can get something to freshen up their plate and need another cup of coffee, and then we'll convene at probably at about 10 to 10. Close session and open up the open session. Is there any reportable action?
No. The board reviewed the employee dismissal report, but there's no action to report.
Thank you. Call for an adjournment of the board meeting. Very good. Thank you.
Second.
You don't need a second.
All right, we are adjourned at 10:48. Thank you so much.
Thank you.